Today's Between Master and Disciples will be presented in German and English with subtitles in English, Arabic, all axes of Vietnamese, Bulgarian, Chinese, Croatian, Czech, French, German, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Persian, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and Thai. Österreich steuerte in seiner Geschichte als europäische Macht mit seinem kulturellen Umfeld eine Menge zu Kunst und Wissenschaft bei. Österreich ist auch die Geburtsstätte vieler berühmter Komponisten, wie zum Beispiel Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Josef Haydn, Franz Schubert, Anton Bruckner, Johann Strauss Senior, Johann Strauss Junior und Gustav Mahler. Ludwig van Beethoven verbrachte den Großteil seines Lebens in Wien. Die Österreicher sind spirituelle Menschen und 1867 wurde die Religionsfreiheit als verfassungsmäßiges Recht erklärt. Eine Umfrage von 2005, an der 8000 Menschen aus ganz Europa teilnahmen, zeigte, dass die österreichische Bevölkerung einen sehr starken Glauben an Gott hat. Mit ihrer Liebe zu Gott und ihrem Wissensdurst nach der Erfahrung des Reichs Gottes luden die Österreicher die höchste Meisterin Qinghai bei mehreren Gelegenheiten in ihr Land ein, um mit ihnen ihre Weisheit und Erkenntnisse zu teilen. Wir laden Sie nun ein, uns auf eine spirituelle Reise zu begleiten. Wir werden die spirituelle Diskussion zwischen der höchsten Meisterin Qinghai und unseren Vereinsmitgliedern bei einem kürzlichen Retreat in Österreich hören, mit dem Titel »Die Geschichte des wohlhabenden Prinzen« vom 28. Februar 2008 in Österreich.
So, as the Bodhisattva grew older, his scholarly interests led him to study all branches of the usual worldly sciences, as well as the more esoteric arts. His scholastic accomplishments, his physical beauty, and the worldly knowledge he display without infringing on the precepts of the Dharma.
See,
this Bodhisattva learns a lot of things and use that to help people, yeah? But he doesn't use it in a way as to infringe the precepts of the Dharma. You know what precept, right? Like five precepts. Like he learned whatever the art that doesn't require killing, yeah? And stealing, or lying, or anything like that. You see what I mean? Yeah. Or maybe he learned something and then he kind of modified it to suit the spiritual person. Alright. Wow, he learns a lot of stuff. Because he still keep the precepts of the Dharma, you know, of the teaching, you know, five precepts, yeah, like the moral precepts, like no harming sentient beings, no stealing, yeah, no sexual misconduct, no, what else? No lying, and what else? No alcohol and drug, yeah. Intoxicants, yeah, anything that intoxicated you and make you lose your brain, your mind, and I mean like damage your nerves and make you lose yourself, make you addicted, then it's no good, okay? Because he always keep the precepts, even though he had learned so many things in the world, people loved him so much. He won all the hearts that know him. Everybody think of him as their kinsman, dear to everyone. For not family ties alone, but the virtues or vices which bring esteem or scorn, are what make others friends or strangers. Yeah. That's what they think. Yeah. It means it's not because you are clan member that you are a kinsman. Yeah? If you are virtuous and morally high, then everybody will feel close to you and they become your family. Isn't that not so with us? That we come here together and feel like family, and trusting each other and feel comfortable with each other, even though we never seen each other before. Some we've seen before here, some not, and it's always a pleasure to see each other, even stranger or first-time friends or many-time friends. Still feel comfy with each other, huh? Okay, that's what it is. Same with this bodhisattva here. Now it came about that the great being began to think only the path of renunciation. Now he want to become a renunciate. He think about that. Experience of the householder's life with its painful struggle for gain has shown him how inconsistent such a life was with spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. He has so much wealth. Yeah, he had so much money and he had all the respect and admiration from everybody, even the king of the country. And still, he think that to be a monk is better. Yeah. You see, this is the thing with Dr. Donovcek, huh? He also did not want to be a president anymore. After he got some enlightenment, he knows it's all transient, so he doesn't want to be a president anymore. If he run, he would win again, because he win 5-6 times already. Nobody is weightier than he was, yeah? Anyway, he say he doesn't want to be attached to position and fame. He think he could do better if he's free from political obligation. On the other hand, he understood well that the happiness to be found in the growth of the ascetics. So he compared the two lives, yeah? He know that the household life is not as good, yeah? But if he become a monk and he just stay anywhere, in the grove somewhere, yeah? Like a forest or maybe a cave, then he would feel better. That's what he thinks. Yeah. So gradually, his mind grew detached from the pleasures of his home. Wow. Upon the death of his father and mother, and while he was still in mourning, he left his splendid home and estate, bestowing all he owned on friends and kin, on the poor and on shamanas and brahmins. He left the city, he traveled through village and town, through kingdoms and capitals of kingdoms, until finally he settled in a wooded plateau near a small town. There he soon gained renown for his tranquility, the quality of his contemplation, and his superior conduct. Here come famous again. It's the same. Yeah. But maybe now that he's a monk, he doesn't have to worry anymore. Okay? His clear demeanor, a result of years of meditation practice, was natural and sincere. His language, though demonstrating his wisdom, was full of modesty, a delight to both mind and ear. Uninterested in any gain, he discoursed in a learned yet very gentle manner with his audience, skillfully tracing the boundary between what was to be accepted and what was to be rejected according to the teaching. In short, his behavior exemplifies what is expected from a virtuous and homeless ascetic. And when people became aware that he had renounced high rank, they honor him even more. Indeed, virtues invariably seem more appealing when found in persons of high birth. Just as moonbeams grow lovelier when shining on a beautiful object. Why people respect a person more? The same virtue, but they respect a person more if he came from a high birth. You know, wealthy or in a high position family. Why is that?
Because he had to sacrifice
everything
he had.
Yes.
For other people, wealth is a temptation.
Yeah.
And then they forget the spiritual.
Okay. So he was a prince anyway, huh? A prince of some kind, yeah? Okay. Maybe he's not a prince from the king, but you know, prince from royalty lineage, yeah? There are many kind of prince, you know, right? Okay. Your Royal Highness Prince, or just Your Royal Prince, or Your Highness Prince, or Your Prince. That's right. If a person forsake his wealth, his position, his comfortable life, to seek a renunciated life. And of course, like, he lost more, yeah? He has more to lose. So people will think that this kind of person is more sincere, more true. Maybe it's not like that, you know? A person who has nothing or who has less, maybe also very sincere and true to himself, yeah? When people want to seek the truth, doesn't matter from which corner of life, it's still the same. Yes, but because in physical life, people tend to value wealth and position anyway, yeah? And if you can forsake it, then people think, wow, he's really something. He's strong. His search for spiritual life is truly laudable, yeah, sincerely, yeah. Anyway, okay, but it doesn't mean that only when you have a lot of money and high position and you renounce it, then you become a highly spiritual person. It's not always like that. Remember Kabir? Yeah? He's the one that we knew, not that that's the only one we had. You know what I mean? You know why we know Kabir a lot? He wrote poetry, yeah? Everybody else, yeah? He fixed the fake, the hypocrites, yeah? He fixed all the people who are not truly spiritual, yeah? Just for show, and wearing clothes, and growing, make yourself look holy, but you're not. Yeah, that's why we know him. We love him for that also, yeah? The thing is, he was very brave at that time. And he dares speak like that, no? So he must be a very brave person. Well, he has nothing to lose anyway, yeah? he doesn't care. He has one beloved and very obedient wife. Oh, you know what? Narusdin? Yeah, Mullah Narusdin. He's also, you know, not very rich, yeah? And he makes fun of himself. He's such a funny guy. And he doesn't have money, but for what he wrote, you know, he was very enlightened. So just to prove to you that it doesn't matter if you have health, wealth, or position or not, you still can be highly spiritually developed. Anyway, right? It's been proven.
Es war eine Freude, Sie heute bei uns zu haben, bei Zwischen Meisterin und Schülern. Bitte bleiben Sie dran für weitere Konstruktivprogramme, als nächstes hier auf Supreme Master Television. Möge ihr Leben mit Gottes Segen, mit Liebe und Frieden erfüllt werden. It was a pleasure to have you with us for Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned for more constructive programming coming up next here on Supreme Master Television. With God's blessings, may your life be filled with love and peace.